We'll get to episode 261 in just a moment, but before we do, I'd like to ask for your support of I Can See You. Whenever you need to make a purchase at Amazon.com, please use my affiliate link by going to iCanSeeYou.com/Amazon. That'll take you directly to the Amazon.com homepage. Shop as you normally do. Check out as you normally do. It doesn't cost you anything more, and I may earn a small commission from your qualifying purchase. Again, that's iCanSeeYou.com/Amazon. Thank you so much for your support. I really do appreciate it.
From Studio B in Swarthmore, this is the I Can't See You podcast with David. It's like blind people for dummies.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 261 of I Can See You. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I'm really glad you're here for this episode. Thank you so much, and welcome inside Studio B for episode 261. I primarily have one thing to talk about today, and I'll get to that in just one second, but I just wanted to take one more opportunity to thank all of you who have purchased the NFB of Pennsylvania raffle tickets. Starting on April 1st, check your tickets. That's when you have a chance to win. Again, it's a three-digit number. I hope you win. I have a spreadsheet filled out with everybody's numbers on it, so I will know the day that it happens if you've won, if you bought a ticket from me. So good luck to everyone. And again, I really do appreciate it. If you missed out on that and you'd like to help the NFB of Pennsylvania, you can always go to nfbofpa.org/give, and any donation is greatly appreciated. You can put in any amount. And again, that would be greatly appreciated. nfbofpa.org/give. Now, what I really want to talk about today is an article that ran in The Atlantic a few weeks ago. I don't know if it made it into the print version. I don't know if there is a print version. The only reason I know about the article is my sister-in-law, Suzanne, sent it to Liz. And Liz started reading it and said, oh, you got to read this. And I said, okay. So she tried to forward it. And I don't remember if at the time it was behind a paywall. So I asked her just to copy it, you know, basically click at the top and drag all the way through. And she sent it with all sorts of ads. And I took it into notes on my computer. I made it a little bit bigger. And then I had my computer read it to me. I took out the ads. I was good to go. It was awesome. I actually enjoyed reading it. Now, it's not, I have a link in the show notes to the article. It's not behind a paywall anymore, it seems. And I got the link directly from the author on his Twitter feed. Now, this guy has 14,000 followers. So he's not a, you know, a nothing type of guy. He's been a correspondent for Time Magazine. And again, he writes for The Atlantic. Now, he lives in Beijing, and he was in New York, and he needed a latte from Dunkin'. And he couldn't find the Dunkin'. And it just made me think about these people who are trying to help me get to that last 10 feet of finding the door to whatever place I'm trying to get to. This guy's come all the way from Beijing. That's not around the corner from New York. And I just, the things that he says in the article, for the most part, he's basically pleading for help. If you see me wandering around, just take me to where I need to go. I need your help. And that is the worst thing to tell a sighted audience. So now all these people that have read this article think, oh, I've got to help every blind person I can. No, you don't. If I ask you for help, I'd greatly appreciate it. But if I don't come over and grab me and tell me I need to go here or go there. Just leave me be. If I'm at a traffic light and I'm waiting to cross, sometimes I wait a couple of cycles to figure out what's everything is going, which way the traffic is coming, what's green and what's red, when it's safe to cross. Don't tell me on a green light it's safe to cross, because I'm waiting and listening. Also, if I'm standing at the corner and I'm using my phone, I may be responding to a text for somebody that I'm going to meet. Don't assume that I'm using my phone to do something else, and don't just grab me and drag me across the street. I talked to somebody a couple of weeks ago that had that happen to them. They were waiting and they were answering a text message as they were figuring out which way the traffic was coming, and somebody grabbed them and took them across the street. And he said, why did you do that? Oh, you wanted to cross. No, I didn't. I was responding to a text message. So don't do that. Don't ever assume that a blind person who's wandering around the street needs your help. They'll ask. I'll ask. I can't answer for everyone else. But the one thing you don't want to do, and this has been a big thing, there was an episode of Blind Abilities a while back that the person started a hashtag. I don't remember if it was don't grab, just ask, or just ask, don't grab. It was one of those two things, and I don't remember the lady's name. This was going back years, probably before I started this podcast, so that's over 5 years ago. So ask. If somebody needs help, they'll take it. If they don't need help, they won't take it. And as I've stated before, a lot of times, once you're inside a building is when it becomes difficult. How am I going to find the elevators? Obviously, if you walk in and you listen, you can hear the dings, or you need to find the stairs. I usually try to find the stairs, but you never know where they are. I might not know. If it's a brand new place, I might not know, but I will find my way to the door. And what really struck me as this guy who came all the way from Beijing and made it to New York, he couldn't find the Dunkin'. He was waiting to smell maybe some coffee aromas when people were coming and going from the store, or smelling some chocolate or whatever, and he couldn't. Now, I don't know about you, but I know a good chunk of people have a mobile phone, and even a greater number of people have a smartphone. And I'm assuming, since Michael Schumann is a evidently world-class writer, he probably has one, because he's probably texting and he's not hitting, doing the old way. This is going to date me. If you're doing, and I couldn't really text this way because I couldn't see the screen, but back in the day, you used to have to text. If you wanted to say, call me, it was hitting the 2-3 times and then hitting the 2-1 time. That's C-A. Let's see, what is L? J-H-I-J-K-L. So 5. So 5, J-K-L. 5, then 5-3 times, then 5-3 times, and then a space. I forget what you hit for the space, but you know what I mean. If you're old enough, you remember having to text that way. And so I'm assuming he's got a smartphone. Hopefully it's an iPhone, because that's the most accessible and the most friendly to the disabled, visually disabled community, or visually impaired community, I guess I should say. But even not, if he's got an Android, there's TalkBack on that, which is their screen reader software. And it's a little bit different to operate. And I've complained a lot of times about issues with the iPhone and issues with apps. And I'll get into those in another episode. But when you have that phone, and anybody, I believe, can do this, and I'm going to try this out on Liz's phone, but we have to turn on, you have to have Siri on. Sorry, I was just checking my phone. You have to have it on, and you say, hey, S lady, where am I? As long as you're not right at the corner, if you're a few stores into a street, or maybe 10 or 15 feet into a block, it's going to tell you the address. It's going to say, you're at XYZ 3rd Street, or whatever it might be. So he was on 50th looking for Dunkin'. He probably knew the address, because again, you could ask, hey, S lady, what's the address to Dunkin' on 50th? And then hopefully, unless it's like that episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm that my friend Brian played on That Real Blind Tech Show, as long as you can get through to Siri, you're good. She's going to give you the address, and you're going to be able to find out, oh, I got to go a little bit further, I got to go a little bit back. And if not, stay closer to the wall, not too close, because if the doors open out, you don't want to get clocked by one of them. But you're going to find it. And you can ask somebody, excuse me, can you tell me what this is, where you're going in? And if it's not Dunkin', don't go in. And throughout the article, he talks about always needing someone's help, but then complains when someone helped him get on an elevator at one point. They grabbed him and dragged him in, almost like he was being abducted. And my friend Stacy always says, if you touch me and grab me and take me somewhere, that's kidnapping. Unless I ask you, don't touch me, she says. The article was a disservice to blind folks and visually impaired folks in general. If you want to help someone, you can always go up, hey, do you need any help? And if they say no, don't assume they don't know what they're talking about. He also talks about being in the Beijing airport and asking about The Atlantic, the magazine that Michael Schumann writes for. But they were asking his wife, who is cited. We had this happen, and I mentioned it a few weeks ago on an episode, where one of our Uber drivers, out of the kindness of his heart, stayed around until we got on a bus. Well, the bus driver only spoke to him. He wasn't going on the bus, but she only spoke to him thinking he was the one, air quotes, helping us. And it, when we got off from State College to Harrisburg, she said, "Who's going to help you here?" We said, we don't need any help. We're going to go and get on trains or have people pick us up in cars or take Ubers or whatever. She couldn't fathom that we could do that on our own. If you see a blind person walking with a sighted person, and I've had this from friends of mine and Liz's, when we're out, somebody saying, "Would David like blah, blah, blah?" I was sitting right next to my friend who said that. Why not just ask me? Don't ask Liz. David knows what he likes. And if it's iced tea or mac and cheese, yes, I'll take that. If it's lemons for the iced tea, plenty, please. But don't ask someone else. Unless I'm eating and my mouth is full of food, then you can ask somebody else. But talk to the blind person. In most cases, they're just blind. They can't see. Their legs work. They don't need to sit down, as he also has talked about in his article. And again, I'll link to the article in the show notes. He also mentions where he was walking down the street, and I'm assuming this is in Beijing, where there were a bunch of strollers, women with baby strollers, and they were haphazardly arranged on the sidewalk. And instead of moving back a little bit, and I'm guessing it's Beijing for a couple of reasons, instead of moving out of the way, one of the moms pushed him back. He was kind of floored by that instead of moving out of the way. I noticed when Liz and I took Jane to London when she was doing her semester abroad back in 2017, folks in England didn't get out of my way like they do when I walk down the street in New York. It is like watching the tide part so I can walk right straight through. And Jane loves it when we walk down. And I've mentioned this many times. There was at one point when I'm thinking back to when we were in New York, just Jane and I. And it was a guy, it was like he saw a monster. And I mean, maybe I do look like that. But he didn't know if he should go to the right or the left. Oh my God, I actually did the right and the left when I said the right and the left. That's incredible. That is a milestone, my friend. But it was like he didn't know what to do to get out of my way. Instead of just taking one step to the side, it is just, that's all you need to do. You don't have to grab somebody. You don't have to drag them somewhere. Another thing that I found interesting about the article, and again, he was mainly talking about visual impairments, but when he quoted a number for unemployment for disabled folks, he said 7%. And that may be for all disabled folks, because if you are a wheelchair user, it's a lot easier to get accommodations. You don't need a special computer. You may need a different type of desk or a different type of setup for that computer, a regular, no crazy language voiceovers and screen readers and whatnot. But everything else is going to be the same. There's not going to be many accommodations there. He mentioned again, like I said, 7% for disabled folks is the unemployment rate. Maybe true, don't know, didn't fact check it before I started speaking here. But what I can tell you is the unemployment rate for the blind is 70%, 70, 70. A lot of people say, well, they can't see, how are they going to do that? Most jobs today can be done by blind folks. For the most part, many jobs can be done by blind folks. He talks about, in the article, he talks about, I don't do things differently. I just can't do them. And that might have even been a tagline for this podcast back in the day. I do a lot of things differently, but I can do most of the things. If I try to do it, I can do it. It might be a different way than you do it if you've got sight. but I can do it. It'll take me a lot longer. There's no doubt about that. There is no doubt. And that's frustrating to me because I am always someone that wants to do it immediately. And once I do it, I want to move on. A few times I've had meet and greets with either bands or sports figures or authors or whatnot. And as soon as I get the autograph or the picture with the person or people, I move on and get out of the way. And I remember specifically a few years ago, I guess maybe it's now 5 or 6 years ago, there was a band that I saw that I really loved at the time called 888. And they played a show with a couple other bands. And after the show is over, the bands come out and they, you know, you can take pictures with them and get autographs. If people still do the autograph thing, I don't know who does, but you might be out there. And I thought somebody was behind me. So after Liz took the picture, I shook everybody's hand in the band. There were three of them. And I moved out of the way because I didn't want to take somebody else's time up. And I had gone back and forth with this band on Twitter at the time. And I really liked them. I love their sound. They have an 80s kind of Depeche Mode or early Depeche Mode or types of sound like that. They've gone a little bit differently now sounding. And one of the guys has left and so forth, if they're still even a thing. But I got out of the way because I didn't want to take up somebody else's time who might be behind me. Now, I don't know if somebody was actually behind me because the bands were one after another in a row. So it could have been somebody seeing the other bands, one of the other bands. And so after I got out of the way, Liz and I were just off to the side and we were talking. And we were talking about seeing one of the other guys who was there. The band name was called Coast Modern. And we waited and some people were in line. So we said, you know what, we're just going to go. But before we started to move, one of the guys, his name is Stills, from 888 came back over to me. I guess they didn't have anybody else in line and started talking to me again. And I was struck by that because I thought, okay, first of all, I didn't need to bail out as quickly as I did. And I try to do that. I think back to that day and some other things that have happened along the way where I don't want to just jump out of the way so I'm not wasting somebody else's time. I try to be patient and not just say, okay, I got what I need. I'm going to move on. Kind of linger, whether it's if I'm talking to somebody about a product at a store or whatnot. I don't want to just jump out of the way. And I'm trying to do that. That was one of the first times that I realized I had done that. And I don't want to keep doing that. Again, Michael Schumann talks about this and talks about, hey, I need help. And it's a disservice to blind folks. It is just a disservice because of all the things that I've mentioned. And the other thing that struck me, he did speak to someone who is from a disabled organization, and I don't remember the name of it, who happened to be visually impaired, but he didn't talk to anybody in the organized blind movement. And my number one recommendation for you or anybody else who is blind or visually impaired is to get involved in some organized blind organization, whether it's the NFB or one of the others in your country, ONCE in Spain or RNIB or NFB in the UK, any of them, because you'll learn things, you'll learn mobility, and it just seems to me, I just couldn't fathom how this guy is a writer and he can't think to take out his phone to get an idea where he is. And he can't, even if you don't have, again, I'm assuming some things. I'm assuming that maybe he has an app on his phone that would be helpful, whether it's Seeing AI or Be My Eyes, or Ira, who now also has an AI component, which sounds really awesome. I haven't tried it yet, where the AI component on Ira will, before it generates any kind of what you're looking at type of thing or what you're reading, you can ask a question. So you don't have to wait. I talked a couple of weeks ago when we bought the Mac Mini, which I have not yet set up. We had gone to lunch before we bought the Mac Mini. And there was a menu in the restaurant I was able to hear. So I said to Liz, started reading me the menu. And I said, hold on, you know what? I can kind of hear my phone in here. Let me take a picture. And so I took a picture of the menu and it didn't read everything to me. It said, we're going to read a couple of things from each section. And then I could go back and ask a question. Now, with the Aira AI component, you can ask that question and then get a yes or no, or yes, it's X number of dollars, or whatnot, instead of waiting for it to generate a long descriptive response that you may or may not want. Just like when I read the mail when it comes in. Liz, of course, is at work and Ziggy can't read. So I get the mail and I sit down in the chair and I pull out my phone and I listen. I usually pull out Seeing AI because that has a quick read feature. But the quick read feature starts at the top and it tells me who it's from, and then it gives me some numbers and an address and some other things, and then it goes down and it might read that barcode that's at the top of the address. Finally, it gets to, it's for Elizabeth, or it's for Jacob, or it's for Jane, whoever it's for. With the Aira component, I can just ask, who is this addressed to? And then I don't have to wait and listen to all that other stuff. So I think that's very cool. So the fact that this guy, again, made it from Beijing to New York and is out on his own in New York City, but can't get to the Dunkin' Donuts because he doesn't grab his phone and even just take a picture and listen to what the sign says. Because if you use VoiceOver on the phone, and for those listening on the podcast, I'm holding my phone in my hands and you can see the Octobuddy on the back. I'll link to it in the show notes. It's not very expensive if you want that. And it's great for taking selfies and doing vlogs and whatnot. But if you don't think in your head, and I thought for a minute, I thought, well, maybe this guy's old. But in the article, he says he's middle-aged. I'm middle-aged. Almost not middle-aged. Maybe 6 more months. Why not take that out? Take a picture. Then you can drag your finger around the screen. And it'll tell you any words that are on the screen, even in just a regular picture with VoiceOver on, it will tell you Dunkin', or it'll tell you a phone number, or it'll tell you whatever it sees. Even if you don't have any of those other things. At least, again, I'm speaking of an iPhone. So I just don't get how he didn't think to use that. And that he just wants anybody and everybody to help him. Don't touch me unless I ask. Don't help me unless I ask. If I ask, if I need help, I will ask. And I've had some instances where somebody's come up to me and I didn't think I needed help. And I'm listening on my phone. I was standing at a street corner and it told me what streets I was near, but I didn't know which was which. And when the person asked a second time, I said, you know what, you can help me. Is that street, I want to say Market, I can't remember what street it was. Is that Market and is that 18th? And I point towards what I think is Market and what I think is 18th. And again, I'm using my hearing because Market Street in Philadelphia is a very wide street. 18th Street, or whatever it might have been, is maybe 2 lanes. But Market is, I don't remember how many lanes, probably 4 to 6, because it goes both ways and is a major thoroughfare through Philadelphia. And she told me, yes, the one on your right is Market and the one in front of you is 18th. I said, okay, so I'm going to cross 18th and then I'm going to cross Market. Great, I appreciate it. Thank you. Then I went on and I met 3 other blind people at the restaurant that we were going to eat at. That was in the summer and it was a good place. I can't remember the name right now. It was Philly Tavern or something on right near the Franklin Institute. But you've got that tool and you've got other tools if you don't use an iPhone. There's all sorts of tools that you can use and you've got to learn to use them so that you can be independent. If you weren't trained, and I get it, when you go to these different NFB centers, there's one in Colorado and there's one in Louisiana, when you learn mobility, you can't use your phone. Even if you have, if I went there, which I wouldn't because the time commitment is 9 months. You get trained wearing sleep shades. So no sight. And one of the things that you do before you quote unquote graduate or leave or whatever it's called, they drop you somewhere and you got to find your way back. You don't have your phone on you. The mobility skills you've learned while you're at the center, whether you know the sun is in the east and it's coming on your left side of your face, whatever it might be, that's the skills you've got to use. You have no idea where you're going to be dropped, and that's what you've got to do. Same thing goes with cooking. They teach you how to cook, again, with sleep shades on. You're wearing the sleep shades for, I think, Andrew Leland, who did a very short version of it when he was researching for his book. And I'll link that in the show notes as well from Amazon, which is a great book, Country of the Blind, memoir before the end, at the end of sight. You're wearing the sleep shades for about 8 hours a day. So whenever you're learning anything, you're, even if you've got a little bit of vision like I do, you are in the dark. And you've got to figure it out, whether you're doing something on the computer, whether you're doing something in the kitchen. And one of the things with the cooking, at the end of your time there, you have to make a meal for, I forget how many people, it's a lot. It's a, it reminds me of, and I'm surprised Food Network hasn't jumped on this. It reminds me of one of those Food Network challenge type shows that Liz watches all the time. So all of those things, there are so many tools, and you don't need to go to one of the centers to learn those. You can start around your house or outside your house. You're very familiar with your surroundings there. Go outside with your cane. And one thing I noticed when I was walking down the street and the glare was killing me, I shut my eyes. And I knew where I was going. And I noticed that when my eyes were closed, and they were closed for probably about 100 yards, I had moved over to the side on the sidewalk. Sidewalk was fairly wide. It was 8 feet wide. I had moved from not quite to all the way from the left to almost to the curb on the right because I didn't walk a straight line. I don't know how to figure out how to walk a straight line. And I used to write, when I would write my name or sign my name, I would always write it up and to the right, which I guess is good because that's positive, up and to the right. But you learn all those things and you develop those habits. Again, going back to my friend Stacy, when she wanted to train herself to listen to her phone at a higher speed, she now listens at 100. And I think 100 is too fast, because not maybe necessarily when you're listening to emails, but when you're listening to headlines and it says, you know, it throws out, you know, initials, DOJ for Department of Justice or IRS. Sometimes it might say Dodge, your phone, or ERS for the IRS. So it makes it hard. And then you have to listen a couple of times. And to me, that makes it less efficient. And why not just listen at a slower speed and listen one time? So I don't, but she trained her ear to go from around 70 to 100. And you can do that. And you've got to do that with mobility skills or any kind of skills. It's so important to have mobility skills if you want to get out and about on your own. I don't want to sit here all day. If I've got someplace to go, I want to go. I don't want to wait because I'm afraid to go out. If it's a nice day and I need something from a deli that's close by or the CVS because maybe my meds are out and I don't want to wait for Liz to come home, or I can't wait for Liz to come home because I've got to take the med and I've got to go pick it up, I can easily walk over there. Ziggy would be sad because I'd be gone for a few minutes, but he'd get over it and greet me when I got home. So I'm just shocked at this article and how it sets blind people back, because I'm assuming the majority of folks who read the article on The Atlantic have sight. Maybe they're visually impaired and need glasses, but I'm assuming they have enough sight to read without using a magnifier or a screen reader, or what I would do if I had to read it inside the pages of a magazine. I'd use Seeing AI and have to take a picture of each page. But I'd do it if I wanted to read the article. Of course, I'd first look to see if it was online and I could read it there if I'm in a doctor's office or whatever it might be. But I am shocked that he wrote this article. And I get it. You know, maybe he's just lost more vision. But it is just a disservice to the blind community, who people that want to get out and be independent are now having people come up to them and drag them someplace or talk over them, or think that they can't do things. And he mentions that in the article. He talks specifically about folks who they seem dismissed, or that they can't be on their own, or they have some other superpower. I heard Dwayne The Rock Johnson just a couple of days ago. He sang a song to some kid, and he said, because she can't see, her hearing is that much better. That's not true. That's not true at all. Because I can't see, I listen more intently, but I don't have better hearing. As I've mentioned a million times, I am one concert away from the deaf-blind division of the NFB. It just infuriated me. The article infuriated me. So I thought, what am I going to do to show Michael Schumann that he can do it on his own? He doesn't need to have help from someone other than maybe an O&M instructor. Maybe more mobility training with his phone or whatever he uses. He's got to have some sort of mobile device on him. Whether it's a smartphone or not, I can't answer. But I would imagine a guy that's traveling is using something like that. A guy that's writing for a major publication is using something like that to answer texts. He's got to be. Why doesn't he use it while he's out and about? And I'd be happy to meet him and show him that you don't have to be familiar with the city. It makes it more difficult. But I would meet him in a city of his choosing, as long as he's never been there or hasn't been there in quite a while. And we can figure out where things are on our own together. He flies from Beijing, I'll fly from Philly, and I'll meet him. And I'll show him how he can get around. Because he has to be able to know that he can do it on his own. That he doesn't. And there's going to be times when I'm going to say, hey, I don't know where we are. We better ask for help. There's going to be times that you have to do that, but not the minute you step out onto the sidewalk. Not the minute you can't find the door. Take a second and figure it out. Take a second and ask the S lady or whatever they call the person in talkback. Hey, where am I? And if you don't have that on your phone, maybe because you have talkback, I'd say go into Google Maps, but Google Maps is not 100% accessible. And next week's episode, I'm going to talk about an email that I got that made me so happy until I clicked one of the links in it. But that's for another time. But Michael Schumann, if you are listening, reach out to me. I'll certainly have you on. I'd love to have you on and we could talk about it. And like I said, if you want to meet somewhere, you name the city, I'll be happy to meet you. I'll fly from Philly, you fly from Beijing, or if you're already somewhere in the States, that's fine. But you can do it on your own, because I can. One last thing about what Michael Schumann said in the article. He talks about changing language. And again, that's another thing that I just don't understand. Let's make it easier. Let's make it not hurt people so much when the disabled are diff-abled, differently abled. Get that. Well, I can't see. I'm blind. You don't like me saying I'm blind? I'm going to say, I'm not blind. I just can't effing see. And I'll say the word, because saying that to me is just as offensive as me dropping an F-bomb to you. And changing, I've probably said this before, and I know some of my blind friends disagree with me. I don't care what you call me, disabled, crippled. Again, that used to be the term back in the day. Hey, that guy's a cripple. And I use that all the time. And I know, like I said, I have a couple of friends who don't like when I say that. And I try not to say it around my friends, but I have a card for the public transport company in this area. It's called SEPTA. I call it the cripple card because I get half price rides on the trains and buses. And I'm only a few short years away of getting it for free because I'll be old enough. And that bothers some people. But who cares what they call you? Who cares what the sign says? Just show you, as long as it shows you how to get from where you are to where you want to go, what does it matter? Figure out where you want to be and don't worry about how they tell you to get there. I don't care if somebody says, take that effing escalator up and you'll find your ass at this floor and then drag it over to this place. Who cares what they say? If they can get you from where you are to where you need to be, or the sign can get you from there and you're using Seeing AI or one of the other apps, just go and get there. Don't worry about it. There's 8 million other things that are 100 times worse for you and for the world than to worry about how somebody says something. Just crazy. Just crazy that you would worry about the language. There's no new lexicon. When you call me up and you want to know if I saw the Phillies game today, don't say, did you watch the film? No, you couldn't have watched it. Did you? No, I can't say it that way. Just ask me if I watched the game. I might have it on the TV, but I'm listening, not watching. And I usually, if I'm going to watch a game, if Liz is watching, like during the playoffs when she watches, She can tell me what exactly happened if the announcer doesn't. Obviously, it's better to listen on radio because you get much more description. And I've told the story about the World Cup a couple of years ago where they used on the radio the TV feed, which was pointless. Because 1 minute, there was action down one end of the field. They tell some stories. And then they say, so-and-so just missed a shot wide. I said, wait a minute. They were just down the other end of the field. How could so-and-so have even shot? Because now we're talking about the other end of the field. I'm sorry. Pardon me. Pitch. So we don't need a new lexicon. Don't be offended by everything that you hear. One more thing before we go. I do want to mention episode 099 of White Canes Connect. Simon Bonenfant talks to Jason Gonzalez and Holly Short from the Delaware County Intermediate Unit. And he talks about, speaking of language, transition fairs. I know what you're thinking. Oh my God, transition fairs. What is that? Well, a transition fair, when you're talking about someone who has a disability, means going into high school, transitioning from middle school to high school to college, high school to work, or college to work. That's what a transition fair does. So there's going to be 43 organizations at this transition fair at the DCIU on the 9th and 10th of April. I'll be there on the 10th from, I think, 9:30 to 1:30. And I'm excited to go because, first of all, it's right around the corner from my house, so the Uber ride should be no more than $10. Both Simon and I have used the services of the DCIU. Obviously, I used it many more decades ago than Simon did, who was probably just a few years ago from using it. I used it back late 70s, early 80s when I was in middle school and high school. Again, episode 099 of White Canes Connect. I do the intro and outro with Simon, but Simon was the one who did the interview on his own. He is a junior in college, and he's really got it going on with a lot of things. He's a great musician. He's great at an interview, and he's getting better with each episode of White Canes Connect that he does. He also does Blind Abilities, which has a much broader reach than White Canes Connect. And he should be someone that we'll be hearing a lot about in the future because of what he does and how he's learning. He actually did the show notes for the episode. I rearranged them a little bit. And the one thing that a lot of folks don't get, like this podcast, not the video version, but the audio version also ends up on White Canes Connect's YouTube page. So youtube.com/@PABlindPodcast. When you do the description on YouTube, you can't just do the hyperlink by saying Twitter and then put your Twitter feed in that, add the hyperlink there. You've got to, you know, put https://www.twitter.com/PABlindPodcast, which is what we are on Twitter or X, whichever you prefer. And you have to do it that way or the links don't work. It's like just having a word there. So I had to go in and change those. And I reminded him that on YouTube, it's like that. That's why I've done it. And it kind of sucks because one of the links that he had in the show notes was really long and it's ugly in the show notes. But on YouTube, the episodes drop at the second that the podcast drops. So it does it automatically. So it just saves time for me having to go back in and drop it on YouTube on my own and do the links two different ways. It's just easier. Episode 100, which will be coming out in a few days. After I edit this, I'm going to edit episode 100. Lisa and I speak with Mark Riccobono, the president of the NFB. It was a great interview we had with him, and I'm really excited to get into editing it because I'm really excited to get that one out. I'm hoping that really pushes our numbers up. Our numbers have been increasing on White Canes Connect, and I just want to see them keep growing. So I'm looking forward to see how that episode does. Because he also recommended, Mark Riccobono did, to every time we drop a new episode, to reach out to the communications folks at NFB National so they could put it out everywhere. And that will obviously certainly help with the downloads. And I'm hoping at some point that we can get to the stage where we can get sponsors, and that would help the NFB of Pennsylvania. That is something that is the White Canes Connect is an NFB of Pennsylvania entity that Lisa created after some back and forth with me, and we've taken the ball and gone with it. So episode 100, it's hard to believe that we're there. Lisa thought we would do one episode a month. When she brought it to me, I said, no, we got to do more. and I am constantly pushing her. I told her she's the one, you know, I do the editing and the show notes other than when Simon does an episode, and she's the one that does the outreach. And I said, you know, why don't you try to get this guy, try to get that guy. I heard her commercial on the radio the other day that had Henry Winkler talking about some sort of eye disease. And I thought, oh man, he'd be cool to get on. Let's try to get him. I texted her. I said, hey, why don't you reach out to Henry Winkler? See if you can get him to come on. So we'll see. I'll let you know if he comes on. I really do appreciate listening to episode 261 of I Can't See You. Show notes will be at icantseeyou.com/261. That's icantseeyou.com/261, numerically speaking. And remember, I can't see you sounds like a whole sentence, but it's only 7 characters long. icantcu.com/261. Please reach out if you've got questions, comments, show ideas, whatever you've got. icantseeyoupodcast@gmail.com, or better yet, give me a call, 646-926-6350. You've got up to 3 minutes. Leave your name and town. If you do leave a voicemail, again, questions, comments, show ideas, tell me what you think about the article. And again, I'll link to it in the show notes. Again, 646-926-6350. I would love to hear from you. I'd love to get something that we could use in an upcoming episode. You can always reach out on social at David Benj, like I mentioned at the top, Twitter, LinkedIn, X, which is the same as Twitter, Facebook, which I've seen a lot more growth there on the Facebook group that I'm in, that I've created for I Can't See You. And YouTube, like I said, you can listen to episodes, youtube.com/David Benj. I've had that forever. That's why there's no at sign needed there. I think if you put the at sign in, you get there anyway. Threads, you can listen at, you see links and things like that there. So again, reach out to any of those social platforms. I'm also on TikTok. I don't have really anything going there yet. It's I Can't See You Podcast there. But again, I do appreciate listening to episode 261. Be well, stay safe, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You Podcast with David. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And don't forget to share the podcast with your friends.